Your Bibles today, I invite you to open them to Romans chapter 6 as we consider the dynamics of baptism in the life of a believer. Today we will be baptizing Jordan, and we've all been looking forward to that. He'll be coming forward here at the end of the service for that. But today I thought we'd just talk about what baptism is, what it means, and how it works in a person's life who has received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And so if you have your Bibles there, follow along with me as I read Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Father, speak to us today from your holy word and teach us what you would have us know. In Jesus' name, amen. Baptism. I remember one of the first times that I ever did a water baptism as a preacher of the gospel. I was a youth pastor at Mission Hills Baptist Church in Lompoc, California. And we had, there were several of our young teenagers that had received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There were two boys in particular, brothers. One of them, you know, was about 12 years old. The other one was 18 years old, and he stood about 6'4". Now me, you know, on a good day, I'm 5'6". Rest of the time, I'm about 5'5". And so you can imagine, as I got into the baptistry with Clay, his name was Clayton, and as we got ready to do this, he's standing up here, and I'm standing down here, and I'm wondering, because he's not only 6'4", he weighed about 225 pounds. And back in those days, I was not near as heavy as I am now, you know. In those days, I only weighed about 135, you know. And so, here I am with him, and I'm wondering, am I going to get this fellow back up out of the water, you know. It was the very first time that I had ever baptized, you know. And I hadn't been very practiced at it, you know. And so, I grabbed a hold of him, and down we went. And by some miracle, you know, I only held him under about 20 seconds. You know, finally got him up out, you know. And he was gasping for air, but praise the Lord, we got him wet on that day. I'm sure some of you have some great baptism stories. I read about mother who told about her four-year-old daughter witnessed a baptism service for the first time in her church. And of course, later that night, she went home and she decided she baptized all of her little baby dolls right there in the bathtub. And her mother was watching her, and there she takes, and then as she took each one, she put the baby doll under the water and took the doll out, and she would say, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of hold your nose." She didn't quite hear that right, I guess. I read about another young boy, son of a Baptist preacher, and of course he had seen his father doing baptisms and decided he would do some baptisms himself. And being a boy, you know, he naturally got a hold of the family cats. And as you can imagine, cats do not like being baptized. And as he did, they had three cats. There was a little kitten. There was the mother cat that was a fairly small cat, but there was the big tom cat that they had as well. Well, he didn't have too much trouble with, you know, the kitten. Got it wet. You know, it was not too happy about it, but it ran off after it was done. And he got the mother cat in and got a little scratched on that one, but the tom cat was huge, and he had such a hard time. He had tried several times to get this cat under the water, and finally, just the last time, he barely got the top of its head wet as it flipped over as he was trying to put it in, and the cat jumped out, and he said, "Fine, be a Methodist." Well, baptism. Apart from the funny stories and expressions that we have about baptism, baptism really has a serious side. We believe water baptism is important because it is an outward sign of an inward reality that God does in our lives through Jesus Christ. In other words, it's a picture, it's a symbol of an It's an evidence of what has already taken place spiritually in our lives when we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we are born again as a child of God. And it's a picture, like we said to the kids, a picture of on the outside of what happens on the inside of us. I have another picture. It's on my finger here. I've been wearing it for about 26 years. And it's a picture of what? Marriage, right? Is the ring the marriage? No. The marriage is something else. The ring simply is a picture of the marriage. It's a symbol that shows that I belong to someone else and she belongs to me. It's a picture of a commitment that I made to her and that she made to me some 26 years ago as we stood before a Baptist preacher in Colorado Springs, Colorado, in the Peterson Air Force Base at the chapel there. And I made vows and she made vows. We made a commitment to one another. The ring is not the commitment, right? It's simply a picture of that. And baptism is sort of like that. Baptism is an outward picture of an inward spiritual reality in the life of someone who is born again. Like the wedding ring, you know, baptism draws a mark on the ground, a line in the sand that we cross over and we say, from this point forward, I'm living for Jesus. Because He is my Lord and Savior. I'm committed to Him and Him only. Just like I did when we made that commitment 26 years ago in marriage, we drew a line in the sand and we said, "Hey, right now, today, I'm making a commitment to Kathy and I'm going to be hers forever, for the rest of my life, until death do us part," we said. And that was the commitment, and the ring was a picture of that. From this day forward, baptism says, I stand for Jesus because He lives in me. Well, let's look at the scripture here real briefly, and we're going to see what baptism pictures for us and the difference that it makes in our lives as believers. In Romans chapter 6, Paul discusses baptism. Now, really, in the Bible, baptism is talked about in two different ways. There is water baptism, and there is a spiritual baptism. The spiritual baptism is when we are immersed in Jesus Christ and He comes to live in us through His Holy Spirit when we trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We call that salvation. We call that being born again. We call that being justified. And as Jesus Christ comes to live in us, that is the spiritual baptism. But there is also water baptism. Water baptism is an outward picture of that spiritual baptism that we have on the inside. Now, when we get to Romans chapter 6, Paul is talking about baptism, and I think he's really showing us that water baptism is a picture of that spiritual baptism, and when he talks about baptism, he's really talking about the spiritual side of it. What happens to us on the inside. And we can see that water baptism is a picture of that. And so as we look at it, we can see that baptism pictures what Christ does for us and in us. Now the word baptized there in verse 3, as we look at that, let me read that again. Get my scripture back out here again. He says in this, verse 3, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" Now the word baptized there is we just transliterate that word from the Greek. The Greek word is baptizo. Okay? And we simply transliterate that word into English. It becomes baptize. But the word means to immerse, or to put under, or to submerge. That's literally what that word means. It means to dip. Actually, the word bapto means to dip, and to baptizo means to dip completely under. It means to submerge or to immerse. And so the picture that we have in baptism is a picture of being put completely under something, into something. And so he says, as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. And so what were we baptized under, or put into, or submerged in? He says we were baptized into Christ and into His death. And so the picture that we have there is the picture of what Jesus did for us, right? What did Jesus do for us? Well, the gospel message is very simple. Jesus, the Son of God, lived a perfect life, and yet was taken by cruel men, by the purpose of God, and nailed to a cross where He suffered and died. All of the sin of all of the world was placed upon Him because He had not sinned. He died for the sins of others upon that cross. He was then taken down from the cross and He was buried in the earth. And on the third day, He was raised to life. That's what Jesus did for you. He died, He was buried, He was raised from the dead. And so baptism is a picture of what Jesus did for you. But it's also a picture of what happens to you when you come to Jesus. Because when you come to Jesus, the Bible says you are baptized into Christ. That means you die to your old self and to sin, and you're buried with Christ. You are identified with Him in that. You are united with Jesus in that. And He gives you a new life. And so it's a picture both of what Jesus does for you and what He does in you. Secondly, baptism identifies us openly with Christ. In verse 5, he says, "For as if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection." It says that we have been united with Christ in His death and will be as well in His resurrection. And so baptism is a public identification with the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. And when we are baptized, we are openly expressing our faith in the substitutionary death that Jesus died for us on the cross, and that promise of resurrection that we've been given a new life and we will be raised from the dead someday. We know that that is the gospel message. And that's what baptism pictures for us. He says we've been baptized into Christ Jesus. We are in union with, we are united with Him, he says, in His death and in His resurrection. Water baptism is a public statement of that inward reality. Dr. M.R. DeHaan put it this way. He said, "In the early days of the church, baptism was a declaration that the believer was definitely identifying himself with that group of people who were called Christians and were despised and hated by the Jews and many others. To be a Christian meant something. To identify yourself with those who were called Christians would in those days mean persecution, maybe even death. It meant being ostracized from your family, shunned by friends. And the one act that was the final declaration of this identification with those who were Christians was baptism. As long as a man gathered with Christians, he was tolerated. But once he submitted himself to baptism, he was declaring to all the world, 'I belong to this despised group.' And immediately, he was persecuted, hated, and despised. In baptism, therefore, a believer entered into the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. A person might be a believer and keep it in strict, you know, secrecy, and thus avoid any unpleasantness or suffering. But once he submitted to public baptism, he had burned his bridges behind him. His old life is gone. He is now identified with Christ and His sufferings. Baptism openly identifies us with Christ and with His church. Baptism then also shows the impact of our salvation experience. Look at verses 6 and 8. He says, "But now, brethren..." He says, "But knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with Him." So he says that baptism really shows that Jesus died for our sins and was raised for our justification. Christ died for us. And He rose that we could be justified. But baptism also shows that the believer has died to an old life of sin and has been raised to live a new kind of life. The believer is a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the key to living that Christian life is that Jesus is now our Lord and our Master. He is the one who comes to live in and through us through His Holy Spirit and enables us to live that kind of life. And fourthly, baptism demonstrates the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice. Look at verse 9. knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. The resurrection demonstrates that Jesus is eternally victorious over sin and death. Jesus defeated death forever. And His death and resurrection was eternally sufficient to save us from sin and from death. It says He did it once for all. Hebrews chapter 10 says this, "But this man," talking about Jesus Christ, "after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God from hence, expecting His enemies to be made His footstool. For by one offering He had perfected forever those who are being sanctified." And fifthly, baptism is a call to commitment to the believer. Verses 11 through 14 tell us that we must now live for Jesus if we have been united with Him in His baptism. It says, "Likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." You must commit to see yourself dead to sin. He says, consider yourself, reckon yourself, commit yourself to being dead to sin and alive to Jesus. That's what we're saying when we go through the waters of baptism. I'm no longer living for myself. I'm no longer living for sin. I'm living for Jesus. He is my Lord and my Master. Sin is no longer my master. Jesus is. That's what we're saying. It's a call to commitment to live completely for Jesus Christ. I always liked listening to Paul Harvey. Made me very sad a few years ago when he passed away. I remember working with my dad in the tire shop, you know, when I was growing up. And every day at noon, you know, we would listen to Paul Harvey News and Comment. And I loved all of his stories. Paul Harvey told a story about how he came to Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he said this. He said that even though he had received almost every award for his broadcasting ability, he still felt empty inside. One summer, however, he and his wife were vacationing in a place called Cave Creek, Arizona. Tiny little place. Sunday morning came and they decided that they would go to the little church that was over there. There were only 12 other people present that day. He believed in Jesus, Paul said, but he had never really made a public commitment of his faith in Jesus Christ. One night, he had prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior in a hotel room. After God had really spoken to his heart through John 3:16 that said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that verse was rolling around in his head as they came into that church service that day. And he began to think about that commitment that he had made to Jesus Christ. And yet, how he still felt that there was something that God was calling him to. Something that he just was not really living out that faith that he said that he had. He said the preacher got up and announced his sermon was going to be about baptism. And Paul Harvey said, "I yawned." But as he started talking about it, I found myself interested. He talked about the symbolism behind it and how it symbolized that complete surrender of your life to Jesus Christ, and how there was nothing really magical about the water, but there was this cleansing inside that took place when you yielded yourself to Jesus Christ once and for all. He went on to say, finally, when he came to the end of his sermon, he said, "If any of you have not been baptized in this way, I invite you to come forward and to join me here at the front of the church." And Paul Harvey said, "To my surprise, I found myself going forward." The preacher said that there was nothing magic about the water, and yet, as I descended into the depths and rose again, I knew something life-changing had happened to me. There was a cleansing inside out that I knew for sure had happened. I had known it in my head, now I knew it in my heart. No longer did there seem to be two uncertain, contradictory Paul Harveys. There was just one immensely joyful one. And I felt the fulfilling, infilling surge of the Holy Spirit in my life. Paul Harvey went on to say, "The change that this simple act of obedience made in my life is so immense as to be indescribable. Since totally yielding to Him in baptism, my heart cannot stop singing. Also, perhaps because baptism is such a public act, and because one's dignity gets as drenched as one's body, I discovered a new un-self-consciousness in talking about my beliefs." And he closed with these words. "The other evening, when on a speaking trip, I was flying over West Texas and looking at the beautiful sunset, and my heart swelled with joy in my new surrender, and I thought, how wonderful. We have all this and heaven too." How about you? Do you have all this and heaven too? If today turned out to be the last day that you have on earth, would you know for sure that you have heaven too? Would you know for sure that you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? That you have been immersed in Him, and because you're in Him and He is in you, that you will live forever with Him? Have you demonstrated that through that act of obedience in baptism? Let me invite you today to do that. If you have not received Jesus Christ, if you've not been baptized into Him spiritually, I invite you today to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Do it once for all. Draw that line in the sand and say, "I'm going to stand for Jesus because I trust that He died for my sins, that He was raised from the dead to give me life, and I want that life. I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior." And if you've made that step and have never taken that step of baptism, of being immersed in water to show that picture of what He's done in your life, then I invite you today to take that step. We've got the water ready. We're going to be baptizing one. I'd be happy to baptize 5 or 10 today. And if God calls you to that today, if you are ready to make that step of obedience to Him, as we sing this song of invitation, I'm going to invite you to just come forward. Jordan's going to come forward. And if you are wanting to make that step, you come. Say, Pastor, today I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Or, Pastor, today I want to follow Jesus in baptism. You come as God calls you. Let's stand together as we sing. The song is number 275. You come as He calls you.